Be present, that is a quorum, so we will start. And I've signed the minutes from the last one. Would somebody move we accept them?
Move, Chairman.
Seconded?
I'll second.
Yes. So that was D seconded. We have accepted it.
She wasn't here.
Oh, she wasn't here. It was after someone else. Yeah, thank you, Gareth. Seconded. Okay. Well, we start with 7A, and that's.
Oh, can we just.
Sorry? Oh, sorry. He wants me to shout out all the normal rubbish. Right. Agenda. The minutes of the meeting of the 5th of January were published on the web page and I've signed them. Apologies?
None received, Chairman.
Public question time?
That's nil.
Councillor session time?
That's nil.
Members item?
That's nil.
Called in item?
And there are none.
None. So we start on the officer report and it's Craig to join us at the table. And Councillor Beattie. Right, and we start on page 3. It weren't me. Well, I put mine on the airplane thing. It doesn't matter.
I forgot to bring mine, left it on the coffee table.
I'll get nagged about that. Okay, Craig.
This report in front of you is...
You'll have to raise your voice a little bit because it's been recorded here.
Okay. So this report, members, is an update report. You remember back in September of last year, we brought a detailed report to you in terms of all the economic development projects that are ongoing within the borough. And you agreed at that meeting that this would be a standing item going forward. So this is your March update on that September report. If you want, I can go through it
please.
In terms of the details, or I can take questions now. But so, if you turn to page 4 then, and 5.2, this is where we provide the details. So, you're aware that we were successful in bidding for future high streets from London a while ago from government, received around £14 million, and we've topped that up with some monies from the council as well and ourselves. We've now got two significant projects going forward, which are public realm. So you'll be aware of the Market Square renovation in Stafford that's ongoing and the work's taking place there. It's good to see that they've started. I know, you know, members are chomping at the bit, as we have been as officers, to move things forward. We waited until after Christmas to start things in earnest. The contractors are working closely with colleagues and I to ensure that they are sticking to the agreed timetable. And, you know, whilst at the moment it does look a bit like a bomb site, that's because obviously the preparatory works and all the detailed works and all that needs to take place before we can start to make it look beautiful as we intend to. You'll see there that there's reference to other parties involved, so we've got BT Open Reach, Western Power, Royal Mail, so we have to make sure the infrastructure underneath the Market Square or associated with it is addressed as part of this improvement scheme as well, and that we don't neglect anything importance like that. So that's where we are. We are maintaining good relationships with the business owners and retailers in that area to ensure that they're not disrupted in any way. And McPhillips, the actual contractors, are seeking to do that as part of their process. So not just doing the actual works, they are engaging and ensuring that people are aware of what they're doing.
That's been a minute, otherwise. Yeah. It's all right, I'm in the back. It's all right, thank you, carry on.
Station approach. So station approach is the second public realm scheme that we're looking to bring forward in front of the station. Upgrade the quality of the infrastructure there and make it a more attractive proposition, both as you get to and come out of the station and link it into other works that we're planning to in the centre. Slightly behind the Market Square there. We do tend to have problems, as I think everyone has in the world, with engaging with Network Rail. They're not the easiest organisation to engage with. And they are key to this because obviously they have responsibility for the station and the station surroundings, so they have to be on board as part of this. We're getting there, but it has been slow. It has held up some of the design work we wanted to do and which we need approval for. but things are moving forward now. So those are the two major schemes that you have visibility on. Obviously, the Future High Streets Fund also involves us looking to potentially acquire land and property and improve that as part of the overall programme that we submitted to government. As I've said before to you, because of the confidential nature of some of the negotiations and discussions, it's not something that we discuss out with the private arrangements for this meeting. But I can assure you that there's a lot going on behind the scenes, and hopefully we'll be able to bring a more detailed report in the future, which can be put in the public domain, and which will show you that you know, things are progressing.
Right, thank you.
Okay, happy for me to move on to Meesbrook.
Meesbrook now, yes.
So again, members, you recall at previous meetings that you asked for a report specifically on Meesbrook, and we would have intended to bring that to this meeting. Unfortunately, again, our friends at Work Rail pop up here. We would have wanted to make a lot more progress with the Network Rail in terms of consultations and discussions that they need to have with our appointed rail consultants. Whilst engagement's taken place, it's not got to the point where we're able to bring you back a full report. So what we've done here is just give you a flavour of the things that are taking place at the moment, and then in due course and for another meeting, we will bring back that detailed report that you asked us for. And there's two elements to this, the ongoing work at the moment. There's the rail work, which is about looking at the potential for a new rail station to service Meesbrook. And then the second aspect of the work is around master planning. That's working up the detail of what Meesbrook would look like and how it will operate in the future. And a key part of that master planning work is making sure that we've got the right evidence base to justify it. Because obviously, you know, we, through the local plan, we need to ensure that if we're challenged and we're examined in due course as part of that local plan, we can say why Meesbrook is a good thing and why it's supported through technical evidence.
Right. Thank you. Moving on.
Right.
Chairman. We'll take questions after he's done the...
Could I just add to that, actually, Chairman?
Sorry?
Could I just add to that, that through the local plan process, we have had, we've been through the consultation, which has included Meesbrook, and there have been a large number of responses, as people will know. They are being processed, and that will come back as with the council's response to the responses in due course. So that's the local plan process that links into the actual Meesbrook project process.
Right, okay. We'll take questions when it's finished his report. Westbridge Park now.
Okay, so this is the Destination Park scheme that you're aware of at Stowe. Planning application has been submitted and it will go to planning committee next week, I think you've been notified of that.
Okay.
So moving on then to the UK Shared Prosperity Fund. This is again the monies that have been allocated by government to spend in supporting our businesses and the generation of both our urban and rural economies and communities. We took a report to Cabinet in February where we were seeking the necessary approvals and authorisations and the delegated powers to allow myself in my role and Frances in hers to start to deliver the investment plan which was submitted to draw down the monies. So that's starting in earnest now. So we're working with partners where we can directly award grant monies, we are doing that. And then we're also working up programmes where people will bid in for the monies based on projects that they have the criteria. So there's lots of work taking place. The Levelling Up Fund, this was a submission that we made in relation to the Stafford Gateway. We were unsuccessful in that bid, and we're now working with the County Council to understand alternative ways of funding the sort of remedial works that are necessary to bring forward the gateway scheme. The good news is the County Council themselves did submit a Love Bid and they were successful, and that will mean that we've got improved roads and bus services within the county, so you'll see the benefits of that. So whilst some bad news, some good news as well.
Right, thank you for that.
The Rural England Prosperity Fund, which is the next paragraph, that's an additional half a million on top of the 4.6 UK Share Prosperity Fund. that we'd provisionally been allocated. We're still waiting for the government to actually give us the green light. But once they do, and we hope they will soon, we can again implement the investment plan that we submitted for that purpose as well. So around about £5.1 million of the money, £1 million of the money to be invested in the borough, which again is a positive.
Right.
And that's it, Chair.
That's the rest of the implications. It's not nothing for us to be concerned about. So we go back to the beginning on page 3, and we now go for questions. Page 3.
Page 4.
Page 4, Brian Cross.
Yeah, just on the Market Square renovation, I know the work's going ahead, but there seems to be a very limited workforce doing it. The most I've seen out there at any time is 4. One guy operates a brush virtually all day, and it just doesn't seem many people doing the job, you know.
Okay, I can take that point back. I mean, we have regular meetings with the contractors, we assure and are assured that they are meeting their time scales. I think what's going on at the moment is probably more of the more complicated work because of the infrastructure that has to be addressed. So, you know, we've touched upon that there. Pieces of kit that certain bodies have within the Market Square area that we have to either protect or preserve or or replace it as part of the work. So I would hope that, you know, we'll see some progress, but I take the point that I'm happy to raise that with them if you feel that there should be more activity taking place.
Well, that's just what I've seen.
In terms of time scales, I'm told that they are on schedule.
Thank you.
Right. Next one, I've got Chris Barron, and a follow on by Dean.
It's just a quick one on that one. I know that there was a delay in getting the slabs at one point, and I think it was delayed for nearly a fortnight, and then they finally arrived, all the extra slabs they'd ordered and everything. I think they're limited to how much of the Market Square they can actually do at one time. So, you know, because of people crossing it, and people are still trying to get across, and it's dangerous how they go across it. But it's, you know, they're limited to how much of it they can do at one time, which might, I don't know, which might be the reason why there aren't so many people doing the work. But I'm sure Greg will ask that question.
Yeah, I'm happy to take that back.
Right, Dee?
It's regarding the station approach. Off the top of my head, I can't remember what actually it was that you're doing there with the plans. So,
okay, so there's some reconfiguration of the drop-off points and the taxi waiting areas and the approach that pedestrians and car drivers have to the station at the moment. Because at the moment it's not very attractive. It's a bit messy.
Are they going to do anything about the actual station? The look of the station.
No, the station is outside. This is the public realm, so it's the bit
public,
outside.
Yeah.
The bit that we
You're not encouraging, given the amount of money that goes to shareholders with Network Rail, them to encourage them to do something about it.
Well, you
the
would
station.
Think, wouldn't you? I mean, this is actually part of the ethos behind these kinds of town centre regeneration schemes. Is public money goes into the public realm, and you would hope then the private sector and the businesses then respond accordingly. So we hope so. But this is part of the project itself.
Chairman, it's just, can I just add, it's actually interesting that this work can be done because of the new swell, the Western Access Road, which has taken traffic off the approach to the, or the approach to the station. And
it's a lot quieter, isn't it? But it's such a bad junction with the Newport Road, isn't it? And then when you actually get to the station, it's just a nightmare.
I think the idea is to make it better for pedestrians and as well as more attractive.
And obviously linking with the improvements to Victoria Park.
Exactly.
So one of the, if I may make a comment on that, one of the problems I've seen is traffic coming from the Newport Road wanting to get on the car park, and they back up almost to the traffic lights. And I thought that was a bit too dangerous. But it's nice to see that the station is being used and something will be done. Right, we move on to Meesbrook.
Yeah, can you remind me of what the timetable is for the Meesbrook project in terms of the station and when it's penciled in for?
Well, there's no specific time scale in terms of delivery of certain infrastructure, but in terms of what the local plan is saying, the totality is around 6,000 dwellings.
No,
of which,
I'm just talking
but
about
if you talk about the station, that obviously is something that needs to be factored into the delivery plans. We're not at the stage yet of being able to say this piece of infrastructure will be delivered by this date
right.
or time. That is an ongoing piece of work. That
okay.
will emerge as the ideas behind Meesbrook are worked up.
Well, good, I haven't forgotten it. I've not done that. Thank you.
Chair.
Carry on.
Thank you. So it wasn't the station integral to the building of Meesbrook, though, because obviously where it's set and everything, it's going to play a huge part in the transporting of people from Meesbrook, because, I mean, it's in the middle of nowhere, unless you're going to bigger
yeah.
roads to get there.
It's an element of
yeah.
the overall
yeah.
approach to facilitating that development. It's not just about rail, it's also about making sure that if when we use the highway network, the network is actually fit for purpose.
Yeah.
So there's a whole range of transport related matters to be looked at.
Mm.
But yes, one of the arguments behind it is that we would like to facilitate some rail movement and the use of the train system. We can. The work that the commission, the consultants that we've engaged are doing at the moment is looking at what the options are available to us and the costs associated with it, because obviously they need to be factored into the viability of the overall project.
Okay, I'm Meesbrook. No other questions? All right, let's move on to Westbridge Park. And as already said by Craig, that plan application is in and will be discussed
On the 15th of March.
Right. Okay, we move on to the UK Shared Prosperity Fund. Has anybody got any questions to ask on that? I'll ask a question. Who are the partners?
There's a variety of partners. So, for example, we're working with the...
You'll have to shout.
But there's a variety of partners involved, including the County Council, a number of... bodies who will respond. So we're putting some money into Westbridge Park in terms of the car parking areas. That's outside of the plan elements.
Yep.
We're working with the Crown Mall Theatre in terms of supporting their scheme, which you may be aware of. Some of you anyway. So we've put a direct grant towards them to meet their requirements, kitting out their facility, and making sure that they have a good facility for them to use going forward. We're working with the tourism and leisure sort of bodies locally to ensure that we can promote and market the borough and Stafford in particular in a better way than we've done before, building on the COVID grants that were made available to us to do that. So there's a number of partners that we're using, and some of them we don't know yet because we're going to make monies available for people to bid in for.
Oh, they'll be in,
so,
yeah.
Can they?
You'll have to shout up.
Sorry, Jack, Chair. There is a fund for businesses within the rural. And would you class Brockton as rural or Milford as rural, or were you talking more like Eccleshall, those sort of zone? Or?
Good question.
Yeah.
For a definition of rural, it includes market towns of Stone and Eccleshall, and the actual rural areas with less than 10,000 houses, villages with less than 10,000 houses. And it would mainly be villages like, in my case, Weston, Stoke by Charkin, the small, very obviously rural villages rather than the urban hinterland. and I couldn't say that somewhere like Bassett or wherever wouldn't be eligible, maybe depending on the circumstance. because Stafford Borough really counts as a rural borough, and so most of it comes under the rural definition. Thank you.
Right. So we're, that was the levelling up fund. Now we're going to, we are now on to the levelling up fund, the bit about the A34.
Thank you, Chair. When Craig introduced us, he said about the County Council part, and they would include increased bus services, which made my ears prickle. Now, I am aware of how bus services in the County Council used to work, but there was a certain gentleman there who left, I think, a bit retired, and I'm not quite sure how this would work, because it's part of the County Council funding. A lot of it is our funding. How would we get private companies, like bus companies, to actually come along, go along with it? You know?
Yeah.
Good.
Not being an expert on this kind of thing, but obviously what the bid was for improvements to the roads and bus services, so the idea there is to see whether the public sector and public services can support the private sector in delivering, because obviously we have a deregulated bus system in this country.
It needs to be cut.
So the idea is to ensure that, you know, we can, where we feel there's a legitimate service need, whether it's related to new development or new growth in an area, that the County Council wearing its highway and transport hat can deliver that. So that was the nature of the bid that put forward, together with road improvements, particularly on the A34 in our part of the world, but other parts of the county. I don't think the intention is for us to have a completely new bus system, which is, you know, out of this world and you know, an exemplar. I think we need legislation to deliver that. But certainly, you know, as I said, whilst we were unsuccessful in our bid working with the county for the gateway, it's nice to see that the county was successful in its bid for that element of work.
Right.
Thank you.
Anyone else on the levelling up fund? Right. We now move on to the Rural England Prosperity Fund. Any questions on that? Okay. Right. I'm going to say something before we move on.
Yes, Chairman, can I just come in on that? At a previous meeting, Martine Manning mentioned the rural businesses in the rural areas, and she compiled a list.
Yeah, a report.
I was just wondering, is Martine's list part of that?
Can I reply to that? That piece of work I instigated about 4 or 5 years ago. We started with the parish councils, actually. It seemed like a good idea to say to parish councils, can you tell us exactly what businesses are and give us a list of those businesses? Well, the only three that replied were in my ward, which shows something about the way I bullied them, I think. But in any event, Martine then set to, and she has produced this evidence from business rates and all sorts of other sort of government documents and information that we've got, and we think it's quite comprehensive. The thing now is to keep it up to date, because as long as you've done it, it's out of date 3 months later. It's going to be invaluable, though, and it will help our local plan as well, because it gives us a better idea of how the rural economy works than we've probably ever had before. So the work she's done is really, really relevant and useful.
Okay, thank you for that. Now, Councillor Nixon, we have done the first item, which is pages 3, 4, and 5. If you've got any questions on any of those pages, you have the opportunity to ask questions now before I move off it.
Thank you, but I'm okay, and apologies for being late.
You're all right. You don't want to. Okay. Fair enough then. So we can move off that item. Now move to 7B. And you're taking this as well, Craig, are you?
Yeah. So this is the quarter three performance report.
What about Mr. Buckley? Is he going to come up to the table?
Join us for the building.
Yeah, come up to the table.
The report just highlights in section 5, Chair, some of the ongoing pressures and challenges and demands being made on the various services under economic development planning. We were seeing still a large volume of planning applications in addition to the backlog that we need to work through. There's a lot of construction and development related activity taking place, which is a positive, it shows the economy is still working successfully. A lot of individual households as well are submitting proposals to us which need to be dealt with, householder applications. There's obviously reference there to the local plan consultation on the preferred options document, which we referenced earlier in relation to the Meesbrook. We have published all of those responses now to the local plan on the web. We will now, as Councillor Beattie just referenced, need to consider all of those comments and come up with a council response, which will inform the next stages of the local plan. We mentioned the UK Shared Prosperity Investment Plan, and we touched upon the various projects as well. So really that's just a summary of that section 5, which hopefully you've read.
So you're now on page 8?
That was page
8. Yeah, page
8. Okay, all right then.
You want to move to the appendix?
Now, this is Mr. Brockley's turn. I mean, he sat very quietly at the back. Page 10, it's all yours. All right?
The first two are business ones anyway, but then L1, 3, 12, and 6 are the building problems.
Yep.
And I think in this quarter three, we achieved all the targets. Interestingly, what Craig was just saying about number of planning applications, building control has actually gone down in applications a bit, and we picked up there has been a bit of slowdown in the construction industry, although hopefully that's now levelled out and it will start to go again. But the quarter three did slow down on applications, and we were picking that up from builders and from agents putting applications in. They were having less inquiries, but hopefully now it seems to just started to level out and come up again. So, yeah, which is good.
Right.
And hopefully it won't.
Anybody got any questions on that page? No? Well, thank you for that, Mr. Beckley. Right, move on. Craig, we're back onto page.
Jeremy, can I just make a comment on that? I'd like to point you out L12, the number of new startups. That is a real good news story. There's a QI target, a Q1 target of 10. And we've seen 107 actual new businesses. It is very, very buoyant. And we're also seeing very good retention of our businesses.
Yeah, I think we asked Craig to take that back to Martina. And, you know, that the members of the committee think it's excellent work. Okay, we're going to page 11. Now, Michelle Smith is ill at the moment, so she's not able to be with us. Okay, so any comments on page 11, Craig?
Just with regards to the first reference there, 111, this relates principally to the future High Streets Fund, but also the Stafford Gateway projects. There is a bit of slippage in some of those schemes, which is understandable. As I say, some of it relates to discussions and negotiations taking place, which unless we're in private, I wouldn't wish to go into the detail, but it does mean that we're having to look at how we do things. I'll give you an example without, and this is something which people were. With Future High Streets Fund, obviously people are aware that we've come into running as an authority. And when you're looking to possibly acquire land and property, or you were trying to do deals, you suddenly find the price has gone up for obvious reasons.
Yep.
So that's something that we just need to be cognizant of. We are operating in a commercial world, and we are dealing with people on some occasions, nothing, you know, funny about them, but, you know, they want to maximise their return. So we have to take that on board. The other thing, of course, we need to recognise, you know, a lot of this is the cost of materials are increasing. So we're having to think of alternative either products and materials or ways of doing things, which we ordinarily wouldn't want to, but we are, again, operating in a world that everyone else is. So we have to be cognizant of that. So that's just a reflection on project milestones and delivery, which you know, we would have liked to have done a lot more by now, but there are challenges that we're facing, not just the only authority in the world, but
right.
As well.
Okay, then. Okay, that was the first item.
Do you want to go line by line, Chair?
Yeah.
No.
Okay. Next one is Alex's local plan.
Which one are we on now, Chair? The 121?
121, yes.
So that's just a 5-year land supply statement that we currently have to have and publish, and that's relating to the housing land delivery. We'd be pleased to know that we have got a 5-year land supply, and that's something which is helpful for us in terms
right.
of defending planning decisions.
123.
Do you want to go? You want 122, Chair?
122. You want to ask a question on that?
I see that the 33 affordable units have been delivered, but there's the slippage. Are we encouraging? Because it's so important at the moment. I mean, I get more queries about affordable homes that are fit for habitation than I get anything else.
So there's a number of elements to this. So we operate through the planning system, and affordable housing is a byproduct of the housing that we approve in the main. We aren't the deliverers of the, we build affordable houses, so we have to work with partners. Those partners have their own pressures, whether you're registered providers or you're a private sector housing company, you will have your own plans and agendas and timescales. Now, what we try and do is work with them to deliver those affordable houses. If they are subject to a planning permission or a section 106, they will have to be delivered, but whether they're delivered within a time period is entirely out of our control. And that, I think we need to recognise that. It's a slightly strange KPI, really, because we haven't got full control over it, and therefore, you know, other partners are responsible for delivering, if not just the road authority.
Because there's very little legal control to enable, is there?
You have to speak up because of the microphone.
In the sense that it's subject to a section 106 agreement or a condition of the planning commission, there is some control over that, because ultimately for those bodies that have got that planning commission, the only way they can implement it is by doing what the planning commission says, or the not the legal thing. But out with that, yes, we're reliant on those bodies, whoever they are, to do what they say they will do. And as I said, the issue here is more about the time scales that we're operating.
Right. Okay, next one down is the development management.
Yes, so this obviously relates to our performance figures in relation to planning applications.
Right. Any questions?
I know that the flow of applications to the planning committee is a function of call-ins to some extent, or perhaps a major extent, but we've had planning meetings convened to consider one application, and the March the 15th is one application again, and it's continuing a trend which is very different from historical levels, where there'd be 4, 5, 6 applications to consider. I'm just concerned that it's not possible to manage the processing so that more applications come to the committee.
Through you, Chair, yes, we've noted that, and we will be doing something about that going forward in terms of trying to get more applications. Obviously, there have been incidences where we had 5 or 6 that were planning, that we were planning to take, but then obviously call-ins have been withdrawn or decisions have been made which have limited that number. But yes, we are looking into that. I mean, the other thing to bear in mind, Chair, is that about 90% of applications can be delegated to officers, and that's the way that the system works. With those applications that need to go to committee, yeah, we need to get more better at taking them to committee.
Right, Gareth again.
I appreciate that,
yeah.
But it's always been the situation that the majority would be given delegated, considered under delegated powers. But nevertheless, the historical pattern that I'm aware of since I've been involved with planning committee is that there has been a significant number for the committee to consider. And we seem to have moved away from it, not just one or two times, but I think probably five or six consecutive committees have been looking at one application.
Through you, Chair, we are aware of the situation, so we're really looking to see how we can improve things in that respect.
At this point, I will mention something else that I discussed at the pre-meeting, and that is that councillors are now getting an email that lists the household applications. And until this morning, I didn't understand why we were getting it, and would you like to enlarge on that?
Yes, so we've had a backlog of householder applications, which we've been trying to bring down to a more manageable number and get back to business as usual. And what we've found is that because of the time it's taken from validation to an officer being allocated those applications, by the time that officer starts consulting, then the time that you have as members to call in the applications actually elapsed. So what we tried to do recently by publishing this list is to give you and other members the opportunity to have those applications called in, because that's natural justice. You know, it's unfair on you and others if you've not been even given the chance to call something in. You'll be pleased to know that we've actually got to the position now from the last few weeks where we've got that backlog down to zero. So you won't be seeing those emails hopefully going forward. That was just to give people the opportunity to call in anything.
So it's only just this particular two emails that concern us.
I didn't appreciate that.
Neither did I until this morning.
Well, the reason why, Chair, is that we've become aware of a few rumours from outside of the authority where someone was saying, I've not been able to even raise this with my local member, and I understand, or where I have raised it, I've been told that we've missed the deadline.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Right, well, that was 1, 2, 3. What is it? Yep, 1, 2, 3. We now go on down below. 1, 2, 4, which is Victoria's area.
Yeah, Chair, I mean, we've reported this before. Slightly let down by the County Council here in terms of their role in the process. We have flagged this up and we are continuing to flag it up. You know, we can only do so much with the local authority or the district council, the borough council, without being reliant on the county. So we have flagged it up. It's a resourcing issue at their end.
Right.
Chairman, can I ask what the norm would be against that
3%? Well, that 3% is woeful. It's, as I said, a pure reflection of the fact that we've been let down by the council. So
I understand it's woeful.
We'll be closer to 100%.
Really?
In normal times, yes.
It just shows that the problem is across the road, not here.
Do County Council accept that they're to blame?
They are aware.
Yeah, okay, so we move on. Next one is the town centre, and we have talked about that. There's a question, all right, question there.
So I assume we go back to what you were saying earlier with regard to the third party landowner. That's delicate at the moment.
Yes, our friends at Work Rail, it's always the easiest policy. And it's not just the Borough Council, it's everybody that comes to the top of the year, and that's really not the easiest organisation.
Right, next one, over the page to page 12, the station gateway. We have talked about that. Is anybody questioning? No? Meesbrook is the next one down, and we have talked about that.
Discussed all of these.
Okay. Stone Leisure, Westbridge Park. There's no Stone member here to query about that, so it's a planning committee job.
I read that today, actually, Chairman. It is a planning issue. I can't can't mention what.
Yes, all right, thank you.
But there are some adverse comments in that.
Okay, so we move down to 141, which is the bottom of the page. And this is about Mrs. Manning's report, virtually. Okay, so we've talked about that as well. And if you haven't kept a copy of that, you've missed the chance, because I thought it was an excellent report and I kept a copy. Right, we're over the page down to 13. Now that one we haven't talked about very much, so Craig, what do we know about this one?
Yes, so I did touch upon this earlier in my summary of the previous page, but this is where we are looking to invest part of the UK Shared Prosperity Fund in our visitor economy offer. So one of the important things is recognising that a lot of people come to the borough to visit attractions, go for a stay, go for a meal, go to cafes, restaurants and all that, spend their money. So we want to encourage that because it's part of our economy. And this is about ensuring that people, A, are aware of Staffordborough and what we offer, and B, want to come here, and when they come here, they have a good time. So this builds upon previous monies that we got through the Welcome Back Fund, which was the COVID government-funded scheme, which was about making people want to come back to our town centres and our attractions. And this is really just taking the next stage forward post-COVID, putting some money in that we think will be well spent, generating hopefully a substantial leverage.
Right, I've got two, so I'll take the nearest one. Marnie?
Thank you. So I'm not seeing anything, any mentions of any of the attractions that Freedom and Leisure look after. Is this not part of this promotion, or any of those properties not part of this promotion?
We might not specifically mention it, but we will be explaining to people what they will find if they come to the town and the borough. And you know, if people want to party facilities as part of their leisure experience, then they will do, can do. We can highlight that as part of the work. We're putting some materials together promoting the area and using the websites to encourage people to access facilities. So yes, it will be captured as part of that.
Can I just come back?
Yeah, hold on, and then it's Chris Barron.
I mean, Trenton Estate is doing lots of promotions at the moment, and with the things that they've got going on now, I don't think that the people are unaware that it exists, particularly with all the music festivals that they're now beginning to hold. The showgrounds, I understand why you want to highlight that, but my issue, I think, is that we're looking at two areas that are outside of our town. If somebody's going to the showground, it's unlikely they're going to come into Stafford, and it would be nice to be able to promote what we have in Stafford, including the castle, because we're not really seeing that here.
Right, well, Councillor.
Can I just add to what Craig has said? Part of this programme includes. We had a thing called the Beautiful Borough campaign that started with separate funding that highlighted Stone and Stafford in particular. That funding ended, and we replaced it with this funding. So it's money to appoint people, but particularly to rejig the whole of the website, which is work that's been ongoing and has happened. And in the process of doing that, we've incorporated the Visit Stafford website. When you go into the website, you will see that there is a strong focus, not just on Stafford, but also on Stone and on Eccleshall as places to visit. And all of that includes the importance of the High House, Isleport, all the borough-owned sites. And the other things are going to have a trail around the town and goodness knows what. And there's a list of planned projects, but I think we're actually waiting for government approval of the individual projects. All right, Craig. So we're still sitting waiting for each project to be approved, which we've no doubt there will be, but we can't go ahead until we've got that endorsement. But don't think that we're not promoting. And just because this is sort of retrospective stuff written to fit into a little block, and it really doesn't even begin to encapsulate the work that's going on.
I think my concern is that Trenton Estate and the County Showground, obviously, they're more than capable of promoting their own businesses without us throwing money at them when we've got.
No, we're not throwing money at them. The one that's been left out as well is Shugborough. You know, it's not comprehensive what's been written here at all. The other thing I'd just like to say, and I do keep saying it, is that people do not appreciate that we have the second biggest tourist economy in the county in Stafford Borough. It's really, really important to this borough. It's an income generator and it's a major employer. So we ignore it at our peril.
I've got the Councillor Barron first, and then you can come afterwards. All right, Councillor Chris Barron.
Thank you, Chair. I know that Martine has yesterday had a meeting with a member of the public regarding a heritage trail, which would include, I think, just about everything that we've got. However, when she looked at the website, and I spoke to this lady a week or so ago, when she looked at the website, she said she couldn't find half of the stuff that we've got. It wasn't there. And she wants to arrange to have tourist trails and things, and hopefully encourage people to stay, which is what we all want. I just think it is important that we listen to what people are saying. I think this is the important thing. We've got to listen to what the public are saying, especially the public who have got the time to look into this and research this, and they're keen and eager to get involved. And I know that Martine had this meeting yesterday. She's also met with another employee and a member of clergy a few weeks ago. Is really keen to get this meeting. And I do think it's so important, because if people come and stay, the County Showground was mentioned. The County Showground, I know that there was a small hotel on the Litchfield Road that used to have people staying there and going up to the County Showground. But they didn't come back. They used to stay there while the event was on. And then they didn't come back. And I do think it's important. We've got so many beautiful buildings in this town and in this borough. I do think it's so important to show them off.
It's interesting, this heritage trail that you're talking about, because that's been going on at the mayor's office for years.
I'm
very interested to hear that someone else is actually asking questions about it.
I actually was at the meeting she had a few weeks ago with this, and it is really important.
Chairman, you might like to put this on a future agenda, because there is a tremendous amount being done. We think of the heritage trail, it's not just having some placards and what have you, but actually using your app to go round and yes, we've got the Borough Council sites, we've got St Chad's, we've got St Mary's, we've got so many wonderful buildings, we've got the history of the shoe trade. There is an enormous amount, and we're well aware of it, and we're doing a lot of work on it. And I think you'd find it very interesting to hear what is going on and help us to actually improve on the plans we've got.
And I do think another thing, Jane, come back, is that instead of, let's keep the heritage we've got and stop destroying the large glass extensions and things, because they look appalling. Sorry, that's my opinion. Sorry, Karen.
That
you
Williams
know my view on that.
Yeah.
She's
on about the Williams Silver.
Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah.
I think it's wonderful.
Yeah. The old bit's lovely, but the new bit.
It needs to join two old buildings, it's the only way. Well, once we've got switching. I know.
Right.
Sorry, Jane.
Well, that's all right, because, as I said, it may be my new occupation. when I leave this particular seat.
Well, you're the expert. You know more about it.
Pardon?
You know more about it all than most of us.
Mr. Chairman.
I'm not going to boast about it.
Chairman.
Right. You're not part of the meeting. If you want to be in the meeting, you have to come across here.
Just for 2 seconds while you're on that. The Burgesses, they're very, very keen to be involved in this, which you may already know. And they have already sent in paperwork to show how it would come across with the apps on and everything else. So things are moving with that. They are going in the right direction. And so if you do have it on the agenda, I think we need to invite a few outside bodies in also. That's what I want to say.
Well, we'll leave it to the officer to listen carefully to that one. Okay, we'll move on. Move on to the next one, which is again Martin Manning. This is the number 4143, Unlocking Economic Opportunities in the Rural Area. And we have talked a lot about that. So, Craig, anything else?
No, just to say that this is focused very much on supporting two aspects of the rural, our rural areas, communities, but principally businesses. You know, those who are looking to go into business, those existing businesses that might want to be growing and developing. Also, we focus here on providing or looking at whether we need more floor space and employment space within our rural areas to meet needs. You know, we tend to get hung up on big sheds on big industrial estates, but we lose sight of the fact that some businesses might want different kinds of support as well in the rural areas, including some workshop space and floor space to either start up or expand. So that's a piece of work we're going to be looking at.
Right. It says Beacon Park.
Yeah, well that's obviously an example of other activities taking place.
Now the question, ask him a question. Where's Beacon Park?
I know where it is. That's the old three site, isn't it, next to the police headquarters.
Yeah, and Chairman, this little report does show this fixation on big industrial sites in the towns. I do keep, in my position as Cabinet Member, I do keep trying to emphasise the importance of the rural business in the sense that it's not the market town and stone that we're just concentrating on. In this case, this is the sort of urban fringe of Stafford, so it's relevant. But what we really want is to recognise how important the actual rural economy is.
Okay.
So I challenge that.
Right. The last item is support for lifelong learning.
Yes, so again, through you, Chair, this is a recognition that whilst we talk about businesses, we talk about employment, we don't necessarily always talk about people and jobs and getting people into work and ensuring they've got the right skills to be able to enter the marketplace. So this is about working with our colleges and education providers to ensure that the right skills for our young people and people of all ages have got the right skills to be able to enter the job market.
Right, any other questions, Chris?
Yeah, thank you, Chair. Yeah, yes, quite a long time ago, there was over the bridge from Castletown, there was a place which taught trades. It was like, is it still there?
Carnborough.
Yeah.
That is Carnborough, it's been brought into
Earl
Street.
It will be, because as I said, I was a bit concerned, but if it's still there, I knew Carnborough was still there, I couldn't remember it was that called this one. I was concerned about this case.
It's part of the gateway.
Yeah, it is.
It will be in Earl Street from September of this year.
Coming from September, right?
So you've got the existing college campus, the one you're referring to, which obviously there's lots going on there. And then you've got plans for Institute of Technology on the Palmore site, which has got plans.
That was brilliant.
This will be even more brilliant, Chairman, because it's high-tech, futuristic training for young people.
Yeah. Right. Okay then. Everybody happy on that one?
Yeah.
Over the page to page 14.
Yeah, so that's just an update.
Yeah.
That's the local plan, Chair, the first entry. And the second one down is regarding design, which is an integral
All right. Okay, we move on to 15, and this is where you get this business that we've discussed earlier, where things below target are now discussed a little bit more. So, anybody got any questions? Probably the best way to ask this one. Any questions on page 15?
I've already put my question in regards to 1.2.2.
So you're happy enough with that one? Okay then.
Not quite happy, but
yeah.
Understand.
Yeah. Okay, well, thank you for that part, the report. We now move on to page 16, and it's Andrew Bailey to discuss this.
Thank you, Chairman. Just very briefly, the work programme for future meetings is outlined from page 19 onwards in the appendix.
Okay,
dates
then.
Are still draft at the moment because they are going to cabinet on Thursday, but this is just the bare bones of what the committee needs to discuss.
Okay then, page 16 17, and I'll remind you that bit on page 5. On page 17, 5.1, the work programme is owned by members of the committee. And it should be flexible to allow the committee to react to certain urgent items. Okay, so we move on to page 18. 19, the next meeting is July. August, over the page again. November, January 24, and then March 24. And that is the end of the meeting. Right?
Chairman, can I just say something before you close the meeting?
You can ask a question.
I would like to thank you for chairing this meeting. It's been a pleasure to serve on your committee. I'd like to wish you all the very best for the future.
Oh, thank you very much.
I second that, Chairman.
Thank you. That's a blush now. I was going to say this is the last meeting, which is a shame, really, because I've thoroughly enjoyed being the chairman of the committee. I mean, for the new members, you may have not realised that I once was the leader of the council, and this is the first time I've been a chairman of anything.
Do you realise I've known you since 1974?
That's right. But the what I have to say is, and we're a bit short on the officers, because I was surprised that there's only, well, at the pre-meeting I only have one officer talking about everything, whereas there's always been three or four. And I'd like to thank the officers for their contribution to this meeting, and of course Councillor Beattie. It's always been a pleasure to have you, and Councillor, you're not listening.
I am listening.
She's
making
it.
It's a pleasure to have
you.
Councillor Fancy
speaking. Yeah. And it's been a pleasure to be the chairman, and I will thank you, you know, for the courtesy that's been offered to me. And I would ask Andrew to write an email around to the members of the staff and thank them for their service to this committee. I don't think there'll be an emergency calling of this committee, so this is definitely the last one, and we'll talk about it later when we get to council, I suppose.
So the question is, where's the sherry?
That's right. Okay, well, thank you very much, and it is finished, and it took us an hour.